You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, you're going to love it. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Celebrity Big Brother just announced a new cast, season 3. This is the cast. Former NBA star Lamar Odom. Okay, remember he was married to Khloe Kardashian for a hot minute and then he was found in a brothel? I just don't see him going the distance on this one. NSYNC singer Chris Kirkpatrick. Real Housewives of Atlanta star Cynthia Bailey. Comedian Chris Kattan. Figure skater Mariah Nagasu, singer and dancer Todrick Hall, former Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Teddy Mellencamp, model and reality star Shayna Mokler, sitcom star Todd Bridges, UFC fighter Maisha Tate, and Queer Eye star Carson Kressley. Couple things. Everyone's going to be waiting to hear Shayna talk about her marriage with Travis Barker. Those are going to be hot mic moments. That will keep her in the game for a while, I believe. I don't see the Real Housewives stars lasting too long because they both get frustrated when they're not able to control situations. This is a show where you need a major social game. You need to be able to sit around, kick it for long periods of time. You don't have access to the same gym equipment. You're reliant on someone bringing you your food that you like. You have to have someone prepare it, if not yourself. And for someone like Teddy, she's got a little girl at home. I think she's going to miss her too much. It's not the same amount of time as the regular Big Brother, but it's still time away from your family. And I think that might be hard, especially for someone with young kids. I'm going to say Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC is going to win the whole thing. That, I feel like I'm usually right on these. I think he's somebody who could just hang out with anybody and is really relaxed, can be super funny, have deep conversations. And I just think he's so likable. I'm going to say he probably goes the distance. Here's my second. I think you're going to see either Todd Bridges, because he's this beloved former sitcom star, and people are going to be eager to hear all of his stories. He probably has great stories. Or maybe Chris Kattan, the Saturday Night Live star. I feel like the figure skater and the singer and dancer are going to be too bored. This is really a show for somebody who hasn't been on television for a long time and is ready to just sit around and kick it for a long period of time. So I'm going to say Chris Kirkpatrick for the win. I just started watching American Rockstars, new 4-part docuseries airing on Peacock. It's about the Olympic curling team from the U.S. Now in the trailer, this is what made me laugh so far. Team USA looks like dads that try to get away from their family for a weekend and wound up winning the Olympics. And it's so true. They're the most likable people, super relaxed. By the way, they would have been great in the Celebrity Big Brother house. Nick Offerman is narrating this all-access series following the defending gold medalist men's curling team as they represent the U.S. at the 2022 Winter Olympics. So it's just regular guys with small town roots, and they're reliving their memorable gold medal run from 2018, which was a huge deal because they went from relative obscurity to worldwide fame. And it tells the personal stories of Skip, John Schuster, the anchor of the squad, and each team member. So from their unlikely success in China to the challenge of fending off an upstart team of rivals at the Olympic trials. It's a really good feel-good story of how a team of self-described rejects tries to overcome challenges and the pressures to reach the pinnacle of their sport one more time. If you have played a sport that isn't necessarily the marquee sport of your area, I think you will appreciate this show because most people in America, especially at that time in 2018 at the former Olympics, are like, what the hell is curling and what is this stupid sport? And I feel like growing up, even though I grew up in the Northeast, coming out to California and telling people I played college field hockey and lacrosse, they're like, what the hell are those sports? So I kind of relate to that. And as you know, I really believe in my mind that I could have been an Olympic athlete in one of these sports. I still believe I have a chance at pickleball. But watching this, you have such an appreciation for the Olympic athlete that doesn't really get the attention they deserve. And to the fact that they beat everyone at the last Olympics is such a great story. And I think you're going to find yourself being more and more interested in curling. It looks great. I don't think it's a sport for me because I don't like to be cold. I don't want to wear a winter jacket. But I think a lot of people are going to fall in love with it. So you have to check that out. Again, it's called American Rock Stars and it's on Peacock. And you have to check out this week, it's Paris's finale for Paris in Love, where she has the big wedding. I'm having my friend Stephen McGee, who is a big time wedding planner. He works on the fanciest weddings you can imagine. I'm making him watch it because I want him to just give me some idea of how much all this costs, because it was like a 4-day weekend with carnival. And I need to know how much the flowers cost. Like, this seems like the most expensive wedding I could even imagine. And what Stephen did say is that because of COVID, the big trend is to have these small, small intimate affairs. And he did a party for someone. It was only 6 people. And they flew in from another country. They had this Italian chef make them this whole meal. Everyone had specialized gifts. So listen, most of us have been sitting on our couches in our house for a long period of time, looking at the same furniture. So it's very interesting to hear how people with enormous amount of money are spending it on a party or a wedding. So make sure you check that out. So Paris in Love finale, make sure you watch that. American Rock Stars on Peacock. Look out for Celebrity Big Brother. And this episode is an interview with the executive producer of the Bill Cosby documentary. So here we go. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. We Need to Talk About Cosby is a revealing 4-part documentary series from writer-director Kamau Bell, offering a deeply personal exploration of Bill Cosby's descent from America's dad to alleged sexual predator. Exploring the complex story of Bill Cosby's life and work, Kamau Bell invites comedians, educators, journalists, and Cosby survivors to have a refreshingly candid, first of its kind conversation about the man, his career, and his crimes. He takes an unfiltered look at his legacy and the unexpected ramifications for an industry that really enabled him. The Cosby Show was co-created by and starring Bill Cosby and aired every Thursday night for 8 seasons on NBC between 1984 and 1992. I cannot overstate how massive a television hit this was. The show focused on an upper-class African-American family living in Brooklyn, New York, and spent 5 consecutive seasons as the number one rated show on television. The Cosby Show and All in the Family are the only sitcoms in the history of the Nielsen ratings to be the number one show for 5 seasons and spent all 8 of its seasons in the top 20. According to TV Guide, the show was TV's biggest hit in the 80s and almost single-handedly revived the sitcom genre and NBC's ratings fortunes, and TV Guide ranked it its 28th on their list of the 50 greatest shows. In addition, Cliff Huxtable, Bill Cosby's character, was named as the greatest television dad. However, Bill Cosby has also been the subject of publicized sexual assault allegations and was convicted of aggravated indecent assault in 2018 before the conviction was vacated by the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania on June 30th, 2021, due to the violations of his constitutional rights. He's been accused by approximately 60 women of rape, drug-facilitated sexual assault, sexual battery, child sex abuse, and sexual misconduct. The earliest incidents allegedly took place in the mid-60s. The assault allegations against him became more public after a stand-up routine by comedian Hannibal Buress in October 2014, alluding to his covert sexual misbehavior. Thereafter, many additional claims were made, and the dates of the alleged incidents have spanned from 1965 to 2008 in 10 U.S. states and 1 in Canada. Now, Bill Cosby has maintained his innocence and repeatedly denied the allegations that have been made against him. And as mentioned, in June of 2021, the Pennsylvania highest court threw out Bill Cosby's sexual assault conviction, and he was released from prison, ruling that the prosecutor who brought the case was bound by his predecessor's agreement not to charge Cosby. He served 3 years. He is now free. So this series examines how a once-loved comedy star fell from grace and the system that supported him. Bill Cosby was a singular voice in the zeitgeist, a game-changing stand-up comedian, blockbuster TV star, and pro-Black philanthropist. And a large chunk of the first episode of the series is devoted to the story of Calvin Brown, the stuntman who opened a barricaded lane in Hollywood for Black performers when Bill Cosby hired him as his double on the 1965 TV drama, I Spy. Because before that, white stuntmen would have to be painted in brown face paint to mirror African-American actors. But then in that same episode, ex-playmate Victoria Valentino pulls out the rug of this man's private life by telling a story alleging that he emotionally leveraged the death of her 6-year-old son to drug and rape her in 1969. This kind of sets the tone. You're grappling with someone who is such a part of the fabric of American culture and entertainment, who happens to have lived what seems a very dark private life and harmed women. So my guest is Katie King, the executive producer. We Need to Talk About Cosby is a Showtime 4-part series. Comic director Kamau Bell explores Bill Cosby's life and work, weighing his actions against his indisputable influence through interviews with comedians, cultural commentators, journalists, and women who share their personal encounters with him. Katie King is executive producer. She's been working for over 15 years as a producer in a wide variety of formats, including TV docuseries and specials, talk shows, feature documentaries, digital form, short form narrative content, behind the scenes, and branded content. She has done a spectacular job with this series, and I'm so thrilled that she's my guest. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Mao's been doing an onslaught of press this week, so I'm happy to help tag team and help out.
This is such heavy material. I think the first question I have for you is how you first came into the view of Bill Cosby. What is your first memory of Bill Cosby?
I grew up in the 80s, watching The Cosby Show every Thursday night with my family, which I think also just speaks to the wide impact he had, that like a white suburban family in Connecticut is watching The Cosby Show every Thursday night. And he really did feel like another father figure to, you know, me and my family. And it was just a funny show. It was heartwarming. It was just, I mean, it was the number one show in the 80s. So I think that was, I wasn't as aware of like his earlier stand-up comedy, or like, I think I knew about I Spy and Fat Albert I was aware of, but it was really The Cosby Show that my whole vision of him is kind of all going back to him being Heathcliff Huxtable.
When you first found out about this project and were asked to be part of it, how familiar were you with the sexual assault incidents and his reputation?
I definitely knew of them. I didn't know like the full, I didn't know how many women. I think a lot of people don't know that it's like over 60 women that have come forward. I knew about the trial. I knew about Indra Constand, and that he was in prison. Obviously, you know, at the time I started this, he was in prison. But I didn't know like all the ins and outs, and I didn't know just kind of how grand of a scale his predation was.
So Hannibal Buress has a stand-up bit in 2014. He says, when you leave here, Google Bill Cosby rape. And it's a grainy video. And he says, you know, well, it starts about with him talking about how Cosby was smug, how he was telling Buress and a generation of Black men to pull up their pants, and ended up with the comic calling out the actor, comedian, educator, TV sitcom king for being a rapist. That shit is upsetting. If you didn't know about it, trust me, it's not funny. That shit has more results than Hannibal Buress. What did that video do to the story of Bill Cosby as we knew it?
I mean, that really, it's interesting because it happened way later than the actual like initial case against him, you know, and it's, mm-hmm. There were so many women that a lot of people are like, why didn't the women speak out earlier? And it's like, a lot of the women were speaking out earlier. It's just that no one was listening. And so it took this, you know, not even super famous comedian, but a comedian on stage, and not even just him saying it on stage, but somebody recording it and then that going viral. Somehow that's what it took for everyone to start paying attention. And then within a year following that is when kind of like the floodgates opened and more women started coming forward. And Barbara Bowman wrote her Washington Post article that was published. And so it's not that these women hadn't been talking about it. I mean, some of them had it, but a lot of it was just his video going viral gave more of a platform to all of these women's voices. And finally, people started paying attention. But yeah, it is bizarre that, you know, it was in Philly, that he is a Black comedian. And a lot of it actually, like Hannibal Buress, he said no to doing our documentary, so he's not in it. Other than that archival, but he didn't set out to like take down Bill Cosby. That was also just kind of like an off the cuff thing that he said, because he's like pissed that this, you know, Black comedian hero of his is shitting on young Black men. And was kind of, that was his, what we call like Cosby's like in angry grandpa phase. You know, he went from like America's yeah. dad to like angry grandpa, like going out on tour, just lecturing, you know, respectability politics and telling young Black people how to live their lives.
Well, let's just walk through his career for just a second. So his first flush with fame, he was a stand-up. He gets asked to be on all these great shows. We remember him, actually, a lot of us do, from Picture Page, a lot of kid-centric shows, the I Spy series, the movies that he was in. And then during the 70s, he takes a circuitous path to becoming this on-screen educator and also a moral authority by telling kids to say no to drugs, mm-hmm. although he's slipping them to women privately.
I think what's so remarkable is he had such a quick rise. You know, like he was like just a comedian in like Greenwich Village telling jokes and like bartending. And then within, I think it's just 2 years, he's then like doing primetime talk show, like night, you know, late night shows. Like, that's insane. So I think he was already a household name in the 60s, but by the 70s with, he does, it is really interesting how he like just kind of crafts different personas. Yeah. In the 70s, it was very much his educational kind of content. And he himself goes and gets his EDD, even though he was like a high school dropout and a college dropout. He decides like, I'm going to build this whole persona for myself that I'm this like, you know, great educator. Which is also very interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on what age you are in terms of like when he becomes culturally important. So like for someone like Kamau, it was Fat Albert that was mm-hmm. in the 70s that really made a big impact. Whereas like I did watch Picture Pages and I remember it, but I think for me, it was more the 80s. Yeah. But for comedy nerds, like, and I don't say that in like a derogatory way, but you know, people who are super into comedy, his stand-up was really influential starting in the 60s. You know, I mean, his comedy albums were winning Grammys like back to back, and he was selling out shows all across the country. So I think it just depends on the demographic, what when he became super influential.
The part that I started talking out loud to myself was the part about his education. Mm-hmm. That was very surprising to me. Can you explain to everybody how you came across information that's really interesting about whether or not he was kind of given a pass in some ways? Because to be considered like a dropout and then having a PhD while having this incredible career, it did seem strange. And then when you explained it, it also set this other tone of like, how much can we trust of what he's telling us?
Yeah. We used to have, I don't think it's still in there. We used to have a kind of back and forth about the fact that he doesn't actually have a PhD. He has an EDD. And I think Todd Boyd still is in there saying like an ED, it's like no shade to people who have EDDs, obviously. I think, you know, it's still a very much legitimate degree. But it's also like the easier advanced degree to get than a PhD. And while he's getting that EDD, he's still like, has a full television career. So the thinking was like, how is he a full-time student and still like, you know, making TV and being a celebrity and being out on tour and, you know, all of these things. So there was kind of scuttlebutt about that. And then we got a little bit in trouble with our lawyers for this section about, you know, saying we don't have any proof that he did not write his dissertation, but there is a rumor that he had a lot of help with it or that he didn't write it. And so we actually put up a tweet from a writer who was on Fat Albert with him and said, you know, he had writers from the show write his dissertation. So we're like, we can't really like fully say this, but other people are saying this. Because yeah, it's like, that's, you know, normal people, that's their full-time job.
Is absolutely.
Getting an advanced degree. You're not, you know, shooting a TV show 5 days a week somewhere else.
But it also speaks to the power of celebrity and yeah. that people tend to do things for celebrities that in hindsight seemed absolutely absurd, and helping him fudge with his educational pedigree is certainly not out of the realm of understanding. And it's what's most interesting is the way that he has really shaped himself as America's doctor, educational doctor, where he was not only playing a doctor on television, but he was being asked to be recognized even in commercials as a doctor, which I found interesting. I watched every episode of The Cosby Show, and you show one of the best clips in television sitcom history where the family is dancing to a jazz song for the grandparents. Mm-hmm. And I even found myself tearing up because it was such a special television moment. And he was really great at making a wonderful show about a family in New York. And it really is hard to grapple sometimes with this legacy dichotomy because yeah. he did so much for advocacy. He donated so much money, especially to women's colleges, namely Spelman College, creating stories about Black Americans, employing Black crew members, writers, producers. He insisted on Black stuntmen. Yet there's this other part of him that he kept secret. And there is a degree to which we ask ourselves, how much did the people in his world know about it? Yeah. What was the hardest part of telling that part of the story?
I mean, that scene you mentioned, it's a Ray Charles song, Nighttime is the Right Time. And I think for a lot of people, that's like the Cosby Show scene. And because it was something that hadn't been shown, I mean, Black representation, up until even the 80s was pretty abysmal. And as we say in the doc too, like showing an upper middle class, upper class family living in Brooklyn. And what did that do for, just representation, but also like aspiration, for people to see like, here's an actual like successful professional Black family. So I think that scene in particular, like, and we showed it to a bunch of our interviewees on the iPad, which was part of come out wanting them to live back in that moment and then have your heart break all over again when you realize like, and on one hand, this is a really important show and an important moment, and all the, like Lily Bernard says, like all the Black crew members and cast, like those are still important, but also even on the set of that show, he is the hypocrisy is there, I don't think everyone who worked on the show knew that he was drugging and raping women. This is just me speaking. But a lot of people did know that there was a line of models outside his dressing room door every week, and they would go in and the door would close. And like, what is a like sitcom star teaching models, and some of the women too, like some of his survivors have detailed accounts of like going to his personal home and having dinner with his family, and this is like a 20-year-old Playboy model. And it's like, so what are, somebody knows something's up. That's not normal behavior. Like my dad didn't bring Playboy models over to dinner when I was a kid. And I think Lily Bernard and Eden Turl, and Stacey Pinkerton are three of the survivors we talked to who their assaults happened around the Cosby Show or were enabled by him being on the show, because he would use it as a carrot, I'll give you a role on this show. But I need to mentor you first, or you need to come to my townhouse for a meeting or meet me at a hotel room. There was always this, he had that power to be like, here's something I know women want and I can use it to get what I want. So.
And also if you say anything, no one's going to believe you.
Yeah. Nobody wants to believe you, to be honest.
No, that's of course
part of it too. Cause everyone wants to love him as America's dad and as, because he did such a good job of melding his persona with Cliff Huxtable. Even if people were told, they didn't want to believe it.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KKC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KKC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KKC.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Also strange is Camille was never on set. She was never on set, and there are several people that you interviewed who were actors, well-known actors who were part of The Cosby Show, never met her. Very odd. So he's presenting himself as this family man. His wife's never on set. He's got this assistant who's ensuring that there's a line of women waiting. The other point that you guys have made, and you beautifully show that the archival interviews and parts of the show, is this story that he had as a storyline in the show about barbecue sauce. Would you talk to everybody a little bit about that aphrodisiac barbecue sauce?
Yeah, that was one of the first pieces of archival I saw when I came on the show. Because obviously this show is very heavy on the archival. So there was a whole team of people gathering that, finding it, showing it to us. You know, most of this was done remotely because of COVID. So it was us, you know, at home going through all this archival. So that was a scene that Kamau had become aware of. And, you know, obviously there's a team of writers on the show, and it's not just a one-man band of Cosby creating everything, but he, from all accounts that we've read, like, did have a lot of creative control and clearly could, like, pitch ideas. So who knows how that scene actually originated. And Joseph C. Phillips, who played Denise's husband, Lisa Bonet's husband, we did sit down with him, and he says, like, oh, it was a running gag on a couple of seasons. Like, don't, you know, he seemed to be saying, like, don't read too much into this, but it's hard not to when you're seeing him talk about a barbecue sauce that leads to people getting huggy, how does he say it? Huggy buggy or something.
Well, especially since he had that 60s routine about the Spanish fly.
Yeah. I mean, that's more damning than the barbecue sauce scene, just because he's explicitly saying that he was, and especially in that book he wrote, that childhood book, where he mentions it like 15 times. And there's like, it's like, why do you keep bringing up Spanish fly? There's not even any metaphor around that. You know, like, he's literally talking about drugging women to have sex with them, like, blatantly on a comedy album and in a book. And how, as a kid, that's what he, like,
fixated on.
Yeah,
to be fixated on that and what that says about you and how far this predilection began. And so back to Hannibal, though, you also show footage of Eddie Murphy talking about a conversation that he had with Bill Cosby where he called him and scolded him. It seems to have happened with a lot of Black comedians.
Yeah.
And this idea that he thought that he was better than other people. And we see this a lot with people of power, where they present themselves as a moral authority. And behind closed doors, they are living a very, very much a different life, a dark life.
Yeah.
So in 2014, he becomes the subject of numerous sexual assault allegations, which become highly publicized during the Me Too movement. And in 2018, he was convicted of aggravated indecent assault against Andrea Constand. He was imprisoned until the conviction was vacated in June of 2021 by the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania for violations of his Fifth Amendment and 14th Amendment due process rights. In November of 2021, the prosecution petitioned the Supreme Court asking to reverse this decision. And as we all know, Bill Cosby was released. I saw this very poignant moment where Kamau finds this out.
Yeah.
And I wondered what it was like for all of you, because in that scene, you're sort of wrapping up a scene. And I would assume you're at a point where, like, we're coming to a point where we can wrap up this project.
Yeah.
How much did that kind of throw you guys off, or did it not throw you off at all?
No, it definitely threw us off. Yeah. So we were on set in Philadelphia, and it's like the only day of the year we're in Philly. It's very weird coincidence that we happen to be there. And then we're waiting for one of the prosecutors from his Edra Constand trial to come do an interview with us. And we find out, like, Kamau gets like a text from a friend, like, you know, your show just got more interesting. And he's like, what? And then we all get this breaking news, which was very shocking. And then also like how immediate it was. It wasn't like he might get out. It was like, no, he's like legit getting out right now. So that's me. Like, I just started rolling on my iPhone. Like, that footage of Kamau is me just like in the moment being like, what do we do? And then I got in a car with a camera guy that I didn't even know. And you're like, during COVID, it was also like, who's, I'm just getting right. Some guy. Okay. Went out to the prison because then we realized, like, talking to other, you know, we went from like a sit down interview doc team to like a breaking news team.
Really? Yeah.
It was very bizarre. And at first it was like the adrenaline of it all. Like, oh my God, I'm now chasing like an active news story. And we find out Cosby had already left the prison. So then we shifted to his house and we got there like right when he was walking up the driveway with his legal and PR team to like give his statement. And it's like 105 degrees in Philly at the time. So we're all just like kind of running on adrenaline and, you know, sweaty and hadn't even like packed a water for ourselves. You know, like it was just like insane. And then as I'm standing like 10 feet away from Cosby, as they're giving this statement, it just kind of hit me like, oh my God, this is on one hand, a celebrity I grew up knowing, you know, like he was like my America's, you know, dad in the 80s and a part of my life. And then the other hand, here's this man who I've already met a lot of his survivors. I very much have been living in their stories for, you know, a year and a half at this point. And he's free. And he's 10 feet away from me. And there's women right next to me cheering for him with signs supporting him. And his PR guy is like raising his fist, like, woohoo, like we did it. And it was just very emotional. And I actually like broke down sobbing. And so like my footage gets real shaky. And then I like walked over and there's like CNN reporters and, you know, like other people around who I think are more like seasoned right. reporters who are used to this and like not as personally attached to the story. So they're looking at me like, why is this lady crying? And then I called Kamau and was just like, this is awful. Like this feels awful. And you know, he was like, he's been so great all along that this has been a very emotional journey for a lot of us. So he will do like, he would do group therapy Zooms and like really try to support everybody on the team because it's a heavy topic. During a heavy time, you know, like a pandemic and then George Floyd and the anti-racist uprising, like all of this was going on while we were making this. So anyway, that's a long way of saying like, yes, him getting released from prison definitely did change things for us. I think it also raised the stakes of like, this guy could come after us. Like he, you know, like Eddie Murphy, like that whole beat if like, and Godfrey says in our show, like Cosby has a way of getting people's numbers and just calling them and bitching him out. So like we fully still expect like he, you know, he did release a statement today, which is the first time he said anything about it. But like, I wouldn't be surprised if he called some of us or he like, you know, comes after us the way he's come after some of the women. So that made it a little scarier too, now that he's out of prison. And it just, you know, I just felt bad for the women. It's like, not that him in prison changes anything that he did to them. And he's never held himself accountable. Even when he was in prison, he never did any of the things that he could have done to get himself out earlier. Like he wasn't, he's never, what landed him in prison is that he did actually admit to doing this in that sealed deposition. But he's never held himself accountable for it. And he still comes after the women. So that was just, it was just really sad, that when he got out and there's not that because of the statute of limitations, like there's most of the women can't file charges against them. There is still one more case where Allred it's going to trial in the spring with a woman who was underage at the time in California. So the statute of limitations doesn't apply for her. But yeah, I mean, it complicated things. That's the easy answer. It definitely complicated things when he got out.
And I'm glad that you noted that. A project like this would bring people together, but it is heavy material. And it is important to note that this affects you as filmmakers too. And I think that it's extraordinary that you gave all of those interviewees this platform to discuss all of this so openly. It's important. And I was in awe of the survivors for being so brave. But I'm also grateful for all of you for working so hard to give them that platform. Something strange is that I was in Beverly Hills in mid-December, and I drove past his house. And it was surrounded by cop cars and security. And I just wondered what his life must be like now. Is there some sort of security concern because there were so many cars there? It just, I don't know. Maybe having people tell these stories is like being still in prison, just in a mental prison. I don't know. That's, yeah. You know, you'll never know.
No. He's very like, what we tried to not do in the doc was like try to diagnose him or get too much into his psyche. Cause it's like, that's where you get, I think, trouble because you don't know.
Yeah, and we don't know,
you know, and we also didn't have access to someone from his childhood or his family to tell us like what his parents were like, what his upbringing was like. Like we'd heard some rumors about things not being great, but like, it also doesn't excuse it, you know, like just because something happened to you in your childhood doesn't mean it's okay for you to, you know, drug and rape women. So, but yeah, the psychology of him is like a whole other, who knows?
Well, it really, and it is about us thinking about Bill Cosby and who he was in film and media. And yeah, and this grappling with that two things can be true. Someone can be a great entertainer, but not be the most honest, moral person. And yeah, in the times that we live, we have to make sense of that. And I think you guys did a really, really good job, a really, really good job. So we need to talk about Cosby premieres January 30th at 10 p.m. Eastern time on Showtime. Where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram, King of Katie, and on Twitter, which I'm like blanking on my Twitter handle. I think it's King of Katie Prod, like P-R-O-D. But yeah, I'm happy to connect with people. It's really exciting to hear people who, you know, we've been so insular in this process of just people on our team having watched this and worked on this. So it's really exciting to hear feedback from new people and people that are just coming to it fresh. So.
And also 60 women came forward, but we can't even imagine the women that did not come forward.
Yes.
And so for them, I hope that they hear their stories, even though it's through other women. But that they're seen.
Yes. And for us, the big hope is just that this is the beginning of a conversation about sexual assault and rape culture. And, you know, it's not just about Cosby. It's not just one bad person. It's an overall problem with our society, and that hopefully we can prevent these kind of things from happening and create a world where sexual assault survivors have a safe place to come forward and are listened to.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guest, Katie, and remind you to go to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. And I thank you so much if you've already left one. It's so helpful. I can't even tell you. Join the Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey. Join other people that are talking about this episode and others and what they're watching and listening to and reading. You can follow me on Twitter at Kate Casey. Follow me on Instagram at Kate Casey CA. Check out what I'm watching during the week and what's my recommendations. I also have that guide that I put out every week on what to watch. You can get that by going to katecasey.substack.com. So many people write me, they're like, what do I watch this week? Where's the guide? Go there. It's going to be in your email box every Monday, and it's so easy to access. So katecasey.substack.com. You can also check me out on TikTok at It's Kate Casey. You can check me out on Cameo. And also, I've got bonus episodes if you go to Patreon, patreon.com/KateCasey. Please listen to my episode this week with my friend Hillary, because we talk about Bill Cosby a little bit further in her own experience. And I hope that you all will have a great weekend. Circle back with you next week.
is upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.